This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Before the start of this evening's game, a round of applause for J. Lloyd Samuel, who passed away earlier today. And it's just 4-7.
When I go home late at night, this is a song that I really like to sing right now, so I'll play it for you. It's called My Old Man.
Then battling with Grealish, Traore with the strike, blocked, and that is it. There is the full-time whistle. Aston Villa will be joining Fulham at Wembley for a chance to make it to the Premier League.
Live from Aston Villa Leisure Centre, the best team on current form. Will you welcome, please,
my old man Seth.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael from myoldmansaid.com. We are here sitting on a bench in Maseley Park as the sun sets on a victorious semi-final victory against Middlesbrough with Dan Rogers from the villaunderground.com.
It's a beautiful, beautiful
Cheers.
Evening. Cheers.
We are clinking iced coffees in victory.
This is our pre-Wembley detox, before the day where you start convincing yourself that it's completely normal to drink Carling for a start, and then to drink it
or before, Foster's.
Or Foster's before 7 o'clock in the morning, on a train.
Breakfast beers. You've got to have at least three with your shreddies.
You have, as many as you can carry, and you take small children. You tell their parents along for the experience, but really they're just carriers. They're like runners from the First World War.
We were recording a show last night, but after
15 or so minutes?
Yeah, 20 minutes, the service that we use, their server just went down. So we've got the first 15, 20 minutes of the podcast, so we'll probably record that later on. But we thought we would do a first impressions of the what unfolded at Villa Park, which wasn't actually a lot at the end,
no.
But we'll just do a quick one while we're praying for the server to come back. I think it is back, but anyway, how was you that night? Because a lot of people saying how nervous it was. And it's
tense.
There's a filter on Twitter, and it's hype. And people saying everything's the greatest thing ever. And
Amazing.
That was the greatest atmosphere I've ever witnessed in my 30 years of going to Villa Park. No.
Some of those Men in Black machines have been held in front of some people's eyes, I think.
Yeah. Yes, you have no memory of that miraculous Tranmere Rovers semi-final. Your memories of the Inter Milan home games have gone. The
Ajax
game.
Phil King scoring a penalty to beat.
That memory's gone.
It's gone.
The 6-4 bonkers semi-final win against Blackburn. That's gone as well.
Gone.
This was just a playoff to get to the top tier. I mean, my perception on this is, what do Manchester United, Liverpool fans, Manchester City fans think when they look at Villa fans going, oh, that was the greatest ever atmosphere ever, and that was the greatest, probably the most important game ever in Villa's history? You think, nah.
I mean, take it up a notch, or running on the pitch in their jogging bottoms.
well, we'll get on to that in a bit. I think I said to somebody, I've kind of had a bit of a blue-collared approach to this game. It's just like you turn up, you get the job done, because nothing's achieved until you beat Fulham in the final.
Yeah.
But I thought the atmosphere was really good, all around this, all around the every stand.
I thought fans were well up for it, and I was quite late arriving to the game, and I think people after work and on the walk down to the ground had took a couple of hours to preload, shall we say. To preload. But I thought it made for a really good atmosphere, and I think...
Oh, you fucker.
This is where you need YouTube.
This is, because it's a shame we're not...
Strategic.
It's not over yet.
We're being
attacked. We are... Oop. Are we running, or... Surely, you haven't got any more, surely.
How do we see if we had Attenborough with us? He would describe that we've just been showered.
It's a shame we haven't got YouTube, because we're sitting on a bench underneath a tree, and whatever bird is in the tree has just unloaded on me, hit me in the arm, hit me on the trousers.
It's not often that I'm lost for words.
I think we were talking a load of shit, but
I think that if we could. I was just saying to you before we came on air that the last time I came to this Poet Park, I witnessed a woman being attacked viciously by a swan. By a swan. And literally someone has just shit on the Villa.
I'm glad they put tops on this iced coffee, because that would have been a fucking tragedy. I would, if we weren't recorded live, I would have already got up, picked up a stone and flushed out the bird from the tree, but... since we've got witnesses here. You're all right. I don't think you got hit.
I don't know. It was... It's been the most surreal 2 minutes of my life, I think.
But...
We're now two men sitting on the park bench with one of them wiping themselves. So I expect to be led away.
Covered in shit. Oh, it's sunk through my fucking trousers. You don't see this.
I'm not laughing at you, I'm laughing at the situation. It's just like fucking...
I told you it was a good idea. It's a good idea to record this podcast in the park.
Whose idea was this again?
Yeah, it was mine.
It'd be more straightforward, he said.
Yeah.
It'd be more... It's certainly more organic.
Fresh air, it'd be more healthy, he said. There'll be more nourishment through bird feces.
You've been fertilised.
Here we are, fertilised. Anyway, sorry, what the hell were we talking about?
Aston Villa Football Club.
As soon as those words were uttered, shit came from the heavens.
From the sky, it rained down. The fiery mountain of shit. Wow.
Sorry, the tension...
I'm not tense
anymore. Yeah, no, so I had this blue-collar approach, and, I mean, maybe I'm jaded, but it's just the Championship playoffs, and the final is where the excitement will be, because that's a bit of a 50-50...
I can't wait. I'm really excited, in a tense way.
That's a 50-50 game where it's kind of winner-takes-all.
Well, it is.
I mean, you understand it now. To lose that game... I think if you're like... That's, I mean, no disrespect for, say, Reading, you get to the final, and you lose it, and it's like, well, you know... We are where we normally are. But with Villa, the stakes are high. And how depressed are the Chinese going to be if we lose that game? How depressed are the fans going to be?
I hope they have the reaction can on Dr. Tony for that one.
I bet they don't. But if you're sitting near Dr. Tony...
Does he qualify for a ticket? Has he been to enough games?
No, I don't think he has.
No, I don't think he has.
He'll probably be in the Fulham end, because... I mean, every fan's entitled to 5 tickets, so I'm sure they'll be able to get him in. Sorry, just stay on Middlesbrough while I wipe this shit off me. Sorry, the atmosphere was pretty good, and it wasn't helped by the game.
No.
And despite that, it's still, you know, everybody stayed with the
there were moments
the players
where we could,
and
there were moments of good excitement. I think that it was, there were lots of quite end to end actually with, and there was some great in the middle of the pitch. There was a lot of good strong challenges.
Yeah,
and
I think the second half there was a bit more what you would call action.
Yeah.
First half, I mean, when you saw Villa with a genuine forward momentum, like, you know, Damar and Grealish were attacking the box, but then you noticed that Jedinek, Hourihane and Snodgrass were holding a line and they weren't running up and supporting. So, I mean, that's obviously under instruction
because
your natural impulse for those players would have been to support the attack. So we were obviously, if we got a goal, it's a bonus, but the focus was basically to stop them scoring. Did you think it was a risk? I mean, the fact that they didn't have a shot on target, but as that Stuart Downing free kick showed in the final seconds, if that had gone in, then all that... it's almost like 90 minutes wasted.
I think we saw a lot of how Bruce has set us up. He took the view, I think, perhaps even on the hour mark, it was a shut-up shop job. He probably wouldn't expect... Because it came from what could have been a horrendous career-defining mistake from Johnston.
Yeah.
And ultimately... I think he's not only incredibly lucky in-game not to have cost us, because he could have scored regardless. I think it underlines what a shoddy referee Mike Dean is. That how did he stay on the pitch? I'm delighted he did.
Yeah, well...
I thought it was... Because that ball was going in, wasn't it, as well? I'm happy with the outcome, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I'd have been really pissed on the other side of that decision.
Because for the first time ever in my history of seeing Villa, I went in the North Stand upper. Just because if I was going to this game, I just thought, let's do something that, you know, at least have some novelty value for me, since I'm so jaded.
So you went back to the 70s in the upper?
So I went back to the... went retro, wore an afro, and went in the upper north. So I had a good view of the incident.
Oh, yeah, you would have done from there.
First of all, you're like, what's happened there? Then the next thing you're thinking, is that ball going into the net? But it obviously took a lot of sting off it.
Yeah, yeah.
Would it... How much of a touch? I haven't actually seen the replay on TV since, or on YouTube or whatever. But I don't think he took that much momentum off the ball that Terry would have got rid of it anyway.
I don't know.
So from that point of view,
I still think we were lucky.
You would say that a yellow card is okay, but it could have gone either way.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that moment, because ultimately that was the one that Downing curled onto the bar, and you think it was a needless... We had some opportunities, despite our restraint. You think, but I also think if we'd have shown a bit more intent, maybe in the first hour, I wasn't so impressed with Middlesbrough to think that I thought they were a bang average.
Yeah, no, I'm completely with you there. I think after the first leg, and let's say the first half an hour of this game at Villa Park, you, as a manager, you'd have thought, well, hang on a minute.
Let's go for it.
I think we can pretty much stop these guys.
Yeah.
As long as we keep one eye on Traore, I think we can commit an extra man up. Like, get allow Snodgrass a bit more, Hourihane a bit more freedom up top, and finish this off.
And I thought that very early on, and it was no different in the first leg, because Jedinak's essentially a third, slightly more advanced centre-half, in my view. It gets deeper as the game
goes. Always has been for the Villa.
He always has been for the Villa, as we've said many times. But there was nothing getting past him, and if anything did, it ran into either Chester or Terry. And to be honest, and I know that, Hutton's coming to the end of his time at Villa, despite a few balls into the box and a couple of pacey moves, I really wasn't impressed with Adama Traore at all. No great loss for me.
Yeah, I mean, in the context of him being a Villa player, no big deal. In the context of him getting at us, I think he was just snuffed out quite easily.
I thought really easily.
Because I think his first touch isn't that great, but he's got good reflexes and he's dribbled. So he makes, if he gets the ball, his first touch isn't, it's not silky smooth. But because of his reactions and his speed and his power and his kind of bulk, he can get that ball and he can, shrug off a defender or whatever. Yeah.
He gets that yard that way, doesn't he?
Yeah, so...
Don't you think it's more as the second game went on? I thought Yeah, it wasn't so dissimilar. We didn't get a great amount of time watching him at the Villa. I thought his play was really predictable as well, because every end product he tried to put in was a repeat. He was either trying to burst into the gap, or he was trying to do that, like you say, that yard where he tries to move the ball quickly.
But I don't, you know,
I thought it impacted Middlesbrough actually.
I mean, what we just did really see, and you boil it down, is how limited Tony Pulis is. Because here was a game they had to win. They were 1-0 down.
Yeah.
And you understand, well, it's a cagey game at the start, so you give it the first 60 minutes and play tight, as you would have done anyway, and maybe snatch that goal to equalise it on the night. But if nothing's happening, what have you got to lose to bring on Bamford alongside Assam Lalonga, who I don't think Assam Lalonga's got a great finisher for 15 million, but Bamford
wasn't impressed with.
But Assam Lalonga, he's the guy who's going to occupy the Villa's defence, and that second ball, Bamford's the one who can put it away. Or, you know, be that fox in the box, cause a bit of...
What did Bamford get, maybe 20 minutes, 25 minutes across the two games?
And it was like-for-like substitution. Yeah, if he came on alongside him, then suddenly Traore's got a couple of targets in there.
Yeah.
And Pulis's most aggressive move was to bring on Rudy Gusted right at the death of the game. And it was like, you know, is this all you're throwing at us?
That's the moment I thought we'd unfurl the flag. I thought it would come down with just a giant smile emoji.
That would be brilliant. So we're talking about the big surprise flag, which was meant to be unveiled from the top of the Holt before the game, which said, "We are Villa." But in the preparation, the kind of mechanics behind it, sometimes it got stuck when they were testing it. Sometimes it wasn't like raising fast enough. So obviously when you bring it down before the game, fireworks on the pitch, you bring that down. If it's not being raised quick enough, a lot of people, especially in the upper Holt, aren't going to actually see the first 5 minutes of the game.
Really hard to see through a giant Chinese flag as well. I mean, it would have just stung a blatant communist advertising, I suppose.
What are you talking about? But no, you're right. If that flag was... that could be something for next season. Forget about the We Are the Villa, or the Lion, whatever. Just have a giant smiling emoji, which has a mechanism that can be dropped instantly and lifted instantly. So
maybe the shit emoji. So, we could have had the shit emoji. We could have different ones.
Yeah, have it like an electronic flag. So, for example, and it makes a commentary on what's happening in the game. So Rudy Gusted comes in, giant shit emoji
gently
comes
lowers
down.
Gently lowers from the Holt.
Adama Traore tries to cross the ball. A big smiley emoji comes from a giant flag on the Holt.
It's the aubergine one that looks like a cock. I'd want that one. And the peach one.
I think we're on to something here.
We'll be watching Villa. If this idea is stolen, I expect my royalties.
If you want match day experience, as they like to call it, I think we've just hit a home run with this idea. So, yeah, I wasn't... obviously there's an underlining tension because you've got to get through, but Middlesbrough didn't really... We weren't under the cosh at any real stage, really.
No, not like the first leg either. I thought that though they had a lot of the ball second half, they didn't do a lot with it.
No, I mean, they had two shots on target in the first leg, zero in the second leg. But in the first leg, they had that header that kind of... Sam Johnson was well positioned to make the save, and it had no power on it or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Just went straight at him. And even that was kind of innocuous in the scheme of things. Normally, if you're doing a highlights reel, say 3 minutes, you wouldn't even put that in normally.
But there was a couple of... I thought their goalkeeper played quite well over the two legs.
Yeah,
I mean, he made the good save from Snodgrass for the curling effort at the end of the first half. Good save from Grealish. The one I thought would have been scored, and it's one he scored a few times since he's joined us on loan, is Graban's near post if you like. That's the one he's been picking up of late.
Yeah.
But that was a really good save, actually.
I loved Graban's, since he was so isolated because Villa's midfield wouldn't push up and support.
He played well, considering.
He was kind of isolated, had nowhere to go.
Nowhere.
And when he finally got the ball from about, was it 30 yards out, 35 yards out? Fuck this.
That was a decent shot,
actually.
Yeah, it was.
Required a save.
I forget the time. I think there was some sort of, I don't think it was particularly contentious, but something had happened off the ball and someone was down. And it seemed like both teams had stopped and he had the ability to turn. It was good. It was at least 30 yards, wasn't it?
So I'm just still looking to see how much shit's on my shirt.
The kamikaze bird.
I'm going to caveat this by saying you can't really blame the bird, because I am wearing like a 1984 retro Platini French shirt, so no wonder he's shat on me.
He's shat on you because of the FIFA and the...
FIFA, well, French for starters. French. FIFA, secondly. Platini, bit of a prick.
It was a Canada goose that shat on you.
Yeah, maybe. Pitch invasion, and a big debate about this pitch invasion on Twitter took the piss out of the Fulham one, but you know, it's just a throwaway Twitter joke. And then obviously you think in the way Villa put out all these don't go on the pitch warnings, and then you see the amount of stewards there, you're thinking actually it probably won't be a pitch invasion because we're too, you know,
we're too big time,
too big time for this kind of shenanigans. And you know, it happened, but you know, you're thinking, well, you know, kids want to be kids, and other fans, you know, you've paid all that money, and regardless of the what game it was and the importance of the game or anything like that, you know, it's a bit of fun at the end of the season also, because sometimes there's pitch invasions just at the end of the season, isn't there?
It was.
Just because it's the end of
the season. It's the end of the season. I don't think the chanting of where were you when we were shit was necessary, because to be fair, considering how shit we were, our attendance is held up pretty well, to be honest.
Yeah.
There's not much else going on in Aston on a Saturday afternoon. And I think the sport of following Villa over a certain period was to see how shit we could actually get. I mean, I remember turning...
That's why we started this podcast.
It was a sport. It was an enterprise in the doldrums. And this is actually... This is like watching Brazil to us. It's why people pull out a 1980s France shirt, because they've refound their love for the game.
And you could be dissecting subliminally what my fashion choice is nowadays. It's because of the rise of Villa's fortunes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And, you know, pitch invasions, I've got no opinion on them.
It's like live and let live from my point of view. I mean, the police have come out with their statement because they, you know, they're trying to get their quota of banning orders in place. And
it's ironic on the one hand that the club will come out and, you know, they're pleading people to get off the pitch, and then their social media and marketing is full of pictures of Jack Grealish being held aloft and John Terry amongst the fans like king. And
They're doing the warnings, obviously, because they don't want to get fined. Yeah. It's not really the club's problem.
It shouldn't be either, in reality.
The hypocrisy is all down at the FA's feet, because they don't know what the fuck they're doing, because it's all part of the game. It's always been tradition. And it's just this trying to separate the fans from the players, because now they're this kind of expensive commodity, and they don't want to take the risk. And they're trying to make out that, you know, fans are going to injure players and all this kind of... Nobody even... That never entered off, you know, minds going back, you know, 20 years, 30 years, whatever.
I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but in the confines...
Yeah, but it, you know, it's celebration. And these are people's heroes. So, that, you know, they're not going to go and rough them up.
And the other thing, if
you're going to give... You know, if you're a fan on the pitch and you're near the away fans, you're going to give them the odd wanker sign, aren't you? And if you get a 3-year ban for that, then that's just ridiculous.
Well, let's rewind to actual real, like, incidents of disorder. You know, I think back to the night when the first season when Blues came back to the Premier League at St Andrews. That was a war zone that was out of control, the Encombe and Melbourne night.
Yeah.
you know, the probably the couple of return legs at Villa Park, but, you know, there was genuine disorder at games like that.
Yeah.
But have a look around frigging Europe. You know, when Hamburg were relegated, you couldn't see through the thick black smog of
I was going to say...
That's disorder.
There was, you know, there's a few smoke bombs on the pitch, and it's like, well, it's just part of the atmosphere. Yeah. And people making a big thing about
it's
it, and the police saying, oh... amping up that people had been choking and dying and from smoke poisoning or whatever. But
I don't make light of what I'm about to say, but it's not like you're going to be reporting Villa to the United Nations like Syria or anything like that. It's because, you know, it's some fucking fireworks at the end of the night.
But compare it. Same night. Oh, sorry, night after. Europa League Cup final. Marseille, their end behind the goal, lit up.
A flame.
Pretty much like somebody set it alight and just burnt all the fans. It was just, and you look at that, that's a European final. And, you know, it's a UEFA event. UEFA, normally it's like no alcohol at European games and all these kind of puritanical laws.
But
for want of a better word.
Oh, I like that.
And the kind of outcry over just a couple of smoke bombs on, I mean, they're just pissed off because... they went, you know, they managed to smuggle them in, got through their security. But in the context of what happens and what's let to fly in a European final, which is a much more higher profile game than a semi-final of a promotion playoff. But yeah, it's kind of live and let live on that from my point of view. And yes, personally, I'm not on the pitch doing handstands because we've just beat Middlesbrough in a playoff that doesn't actually get us anywhere until the final. But
that's a good point to end that on, I suppose, is that the two bits for me is that you can't try and market football as this exciting fan-involved experience and then try and stifle it at the same time.
Yeah, no,
and the other
agree.
Bit is the job isn't done.
Yeah.
The job isn't done.
Yeah, you've got people in the marketing team at Villa putting out tweets saying, and they're not real football fans, they're more rugby fans from the bio.
And the main guy's a blues
saying,
guy.
This is the biggest... Yeah, and the main guy's a blues guy. This is the biggest game at Villa Park for decades.
Fuck off!
First of all, that's...
makes me furious.
First of all, that's completely wrong. Secondly, why are you amping it up if you don't want people to get so excited that they're going to run on the pitch to celebrate the greatest win ever in the history of Aston Villa? Doesn't make sense. There's hypocrisy there. Also, the hypocrisy of
that's true.
Trying to give fans extra grief just for like three smoke bombs when at the start of the game you got pyro flamethrowers on the pitch. So there's this double standards thing. It's which is kind of amusing.
Yeah, well, to us, yeah. To those of us who think about these things.
Yeah.
On a beautiful,
beautiful
evening.
But that game, I mean, that's done and dusted. Fulham, just in a nutshell, because I'm sure we'll talk about this in a podcast before the Wembley event.
Oh, excuse me. A frappuccino.
It's all got very bourgeoisie, this podcast now. I think we just swear on it because we're the only podcast that swears because we're trying to cover up the fact that we're swearing, we're drinking iced fucking Americanas.
We could be anywhere in the world.
In private parks. But, you know, birds are shitting on us. Well, they're shitting on me. You're dressed a bit smarter.
I'm immune.
You've just come back from work, so you got lucky there. That dog matches your coffee.
He does. Maybe...
it's a brown Dalmatian just come up. Fulham.
Yes.
People fearing Fulham. As we said on the last...
I fear no one.
As we said on the last podcast. I mean, people are saying, oh, you know, Fulham, 23 game unbeaten run. They're playing amazing football. Let's break it down, people.
Yes.
23 game unbeaten run against a sack of shit, basically.
Yeah.
Against the Villa team, we're in that unbeaten run. Mm-hmm. We got beat 2-0 because we were missing Grealish. We're missing Adomar.
Adomar, yeah.
Wolves, they're already thinking they'd won the league. Wolves could drop points knowing they'd end up winning that league. The rest of the team's pretty crap. If Fulham turn up, they should be able to beat most of the championship. If we follow suit, we should have done the same. I mean, we were 5 points off them in the end, and if you look at Preston at home, QPR at home, if we won both of those two games, we'd have been on the same points.
Do you know what? I'm minded similarly to you on that. The acid test for me was that when it came down to a real crunch fixture at the end.
Yeah, they bottled it.
They bottled it. And they bottled it. I mean, we spoke briefly about
two.
They bottled two. Yeah. I mean,
Derby away was their second crunch fixture, and they bottled that one as well. I mean, obviously they got their act together, but it's at home.
I mean, I know the Blues don't sell out often, but we, you know, I think we said before when you get them there, and we've been down there as a Villa, and it can be an intimidating place. But major fuck up not getting promoted automatically from my point of view, and that's got to be in the back of their heads too.
And you look at that second leg against Derby. Yes, they control the game most of the time. But Derby, ball-watching, Sessegnon was free for that first goal. They were ball-watching. They left him free on the back post, on the far side. That wouldn't have happened against Villa.
It'd have been cringe. I think the other thing about that my memory of the Derby-Fulham game, as I saw it, was Derby had two great chances, one of which was a header from about 6 yards that fell unmarked to Andy Vyman, who could do... Well, to be honest, as a Villa fan, I could have predicted what he would have done. Which was...
head in his hands.
Fucking head it over like he was playing rugby. That sums up... It's a little bit of the Gary Rowett that I don't like, really. That I think he's a bit all mouth sometimes and talking up his players, and that's a bit of a motivational technique. I thought they were pants, and I think Fulham's test will be us.
Yeah, the other thing is... If they were intimidated by the Blues, I think they're going to get a shock when they go to Wembley. Mm. Especially the fans who are just thinking, oh yeah, we play good football, we're going to, you know, we're going to demolish Villa. Mm. We grind on the pitch and off the pitch. In the stands, we grinded Liverpool to dust when they were singing, "You'll Never Walk Alone." You couldn't hear it.
No.
And that Liverpool are pretty much up there in terms of, if you're looking at the best fans in terms of loudness, you'd put Liverpool up there.
Especially pre-match.
When they came up against Villa, they got a shock and a half.
Mm.
And we'll be there. And they'll actually be, I mean, talking about the Liverpool game, against Arsenal, it was, we had 25,000 there. They'd taken about 6,000-7,000 tickets off, you know.
Yeah, for corporate.
All these bloody corporate volunteers things. You don't really get the same atmosphere. They pump up the sound so loud that their choreographed dance routines on the pitch, you know, drown everything out. So there's no real atmosphere. But in the semi, this time round, in the final of the playoffs, we're going to have about 6,000-7,000 more than we did against Liverpool. Now, on the other side, you've got Fulham fans who, when they buy their tickets, they can buy up to 5 tickets because they haven't got enough hardcore fans to fill that end. So you're going to get a lot of day trippers, you're going to get a lot of neutrals, who are mates of the fans who are coming in for a day out at Wembley. That's not going to stand up against what we've got in terms of loudness, vocalness.
And there was a taste in the semi against Middlesbrough, I think, the way at 3 or 4 times, all 4 corners of the ground, the noise was, you know, though I don't think the game was comparable in stature to others, the noise was as loud as I've heard it for a long time at Villa Park.
As I said, you know, I was just going up and north just to complete. Mm. I've been in every stand, but apart from every stand tier, apart from that one. Mm. And people were all standing up on the top, giving it the wide arms,
giving it large.
And singing all the way through. So people are fired up, and they'll be fired up for the Fulham. And Fulham, I think, they're, from a fan's point of view, it's just it's another day out in London. And it's a family club. They have a neutral zone. And when the beast of Villa comes to town, it'll be a different thing.
And it will be a beast. And
I mean, Pim Sippers versus...
I'm not going to re-rant. I think I started this, as you'll hear in a moment, if you've not already heard, my prawn-munching rant is probably... I think I made my views clear.
there might be a bit of duplication on the next podcast. But no, I'm confident about that game. I think before we actually qualified for the playoffs, my main concern was Middlesbrough over 2 legs, because I thought they were a lot better than they were.
Yeah.
And I thought they were peaking at the right time. And I was just thinking, you know, Premier League team, we've also last season, and they've spent a bit this season as well. So I thought this is going to be a tough test. And Pulis is a bit of a stubborn bastard, so
we thought
that would be the identity of the team.
We thought that they would be the team coming to Villa Park, perhaps as a bit of a dark horse on the ascendancy. And I also thought there'd be a bit of desperation on Pulis's part to the big fuck you to West Brom.
Yeah. And I thought if Middlesbrough had played Fulham in the semis, I think Middlesbrough, this is before the event, I think Middlesbrough would have got rid of Fulham.
Yeah.
Fulham kind of got lucky because Derby can't grind like Middlesbrough and Villa can. So I think you've got, ultimately, after seeing what Middlesbrough had to offer, which wasn't that much, you've got the best two teams. I mean, obviously we finished third and fourth, but you've got the best two teams for the best final that you could possibly have. Now it's a will be interesting to see if Bruce plays with a similar mindset or lets them off the leash a bit.
I just wonder whether we've got a number of what
we've
got
the players to take them. If we go toe and toe, we can beat them.
I think we've got some big game players as well. Yeah. I think that I don't think it would be so gung ho. I think it would be kind. It's just a different game plan.
Pretty much most of them have played at Wembley. I mean, Hourihan with Barnsley's won playoffs in divisions. I think he's played
League
there
one,
twice.
Yeah.
I think he's won there twice.
I mean, Terry, it's not going to be phased remotely by that.
No, Jedinak, Bjarnason have all played. Yeah. You know, World Cups, European Championships, Chester
as well,
same.
Well established internationally.
European Championship semi-final.
Hudson similarly.
Johnson's the only one who might shit his pants, but he looks solid to me.
He does look
Premier
League.
Famous last words.
Yeah.
Grealish, what was his sixth game for Villa? Was at Wembley?
And
unfazed. This will be his third once, and now he's a different player to what he was then. Graban played there last season. You look at the Fulham team, and I mean, last season they didn't get through the semi-finals.
Nope.
Session hasn't played at Wembley unless he's played there for youth level or something. I can't recall off the top of my head, but unless he's played in like some YouTubers Wembley Cup final or something.
Spencer FC.
Mitrovic is interesting because he is their main man.
He's a bully. And
he's got great touch. He controls. He's
dangerous. He's dangerous. I mean, they've got that strike force.
As a target man, he's a cultured target man.
Yeah.
And what he's got this season that he didn't really have at Newcastle, he was a hothead last season. I mean, he probably get sent off, more likely to get sent off than to score.
He's the player you might target, actually, but equally I think you'd want to treat him very carefully.
So what, I mean, he is still obviously got that tendency of being a hothead, and Wembley, Villa fans going bloody mad, heating up the tension, what's at stake, the intensity of what's at stake. You know, if things don't go well for him, I think it'll get under his collar a bit, and, you know, he might be not have a great day, but saying that, him and Session are the main threats, but they've got pace. I mean, Fredericks on the right, but we'll go through their team with a bit. I need a shower, I think.
You smeared yourself in.
But no, they've Mitrovic is a serious threat.
I'm relaxed at the moment,
but I'm now more confident about this game than I was against Middlesbrough. I mean, I was confident against Manchester United in 94, and we were 4-1 outsiders.
That was a good Manchester United team.
And that was a great Manchester United team.
Bar the goalkeeper.
That had just won the league for the
great
first time
Man United
for years.
Yeah.
If Schmeichel was actually playing that game, I think it might have been a bit different. It would have been a lot closer.
That was still a superb Man United team.
But it was a great Manchester United team, including Villa's current manager. But I was confident, building up to it on the day, wasn't nervous.
No.
It was, and that's what happened against Liverpool. The fans, it wasn't like this, you're sitting there and go, oh, I hope it goes well in the first 10 minutes. And then from the off, we're coming here.
It was a different feeling, wasn't it?
And, you know, Neville Welk Alone came on. And normally it's a great moment. Just as a football fan, it's a good moment. And the way it was drowned out, I mean, of course, we're called the villains for a reason. We're gonna hiss all the way through. Never mind.
I mean,
they can
suppress your flag, our flags, all they want.
Yeah, they can ban our flags, but they can't stop us defecating on your Never Walk Alone.
I mean, as the birds have, ironically, they're circling you now.
But I think we'll march into that, and we've been joking about big club complex and mentality, but. We will be marching into town.
But the point's true that there's going to be at most 20,000 genuine Fulham fans there, and twice as many genuine Villa fans. And, you know, the fact is that we probably could sell 20,000 more, for argument's sake. If the prices were a bit cheaper. Or if actually they gave us a fair allocation. In reality.
But 38,000, over 38,000 is not bad.
It's going to be a cauldron. I think if
it's
we can recreate what was at Villa Park against Middlesbrough
and the Liverpool game,
you know, we've got the pedigree for it. I think there's a hunger, isn't there, for Villa to get to achieve something. You know, this is where we're at now. This is the most we can achieve in the moment.
And
let's do it in front of everyone.
And sometimes my mind drifts off and I think, what if we don't do it? But I don't actually think about that too long, because at the moment I'm pretty confident that, I mean, this is all great material for Fulham podcasts to obviously play if they do
endlessly
win.
Endlessly on a loop.
But yeah, at the end of the day, we don't give a shit.
No.
It's not like awkward. Don't give a shit. So
no, I think the only thing I'm not so bothered about in the footballing sense of being in the Championship. I'm worried of the financial bit, which sounds crazy, and that's modern football.
Yeah, that's why people were hyping up this semi-final against Middlesbrough, because they're thinking about the money as opposed to the stature of the game. As I said, to fans of like the bigger clubs in England, it's like it's just a novelty that probably they won't even watch. They just look at the score. Oh, Villa are got to the final.
It's not a spectacle.
Be good to have them back to have a bigger team in the Premier League, because we're getting bored of playing Watford and Burnley and Bournemouth.
I think the crazy thing about the relegated teams is, this is a slight on the Albion. The Albion were a boring team to play as well, and it used to be Villa Albion should be a spectacle, shouldn't it? It always was on the fixture list, and was increasingly rare in the 90s because of the Albion being in the Championship.
Yeah.
When they did get up and they stabilised. Boring.
Yeah, actually, the Villa Albion games are pretty boring, weren't they?
Mm.
Recent times. The first one I ever was conscious of was I saw a Match of the Day, and it was Villa 4, Albion 3. And I remember Romeo Zondervan of West Brom scoring a rocket past Nigel Spinks, and John Motson going, "Zondervan!"
It became the reason they got relegated, and the Albion got relegated for very similar reasons to us in the end.
And this is this mentality which we speak about on the podcast that will be released after this one. As we've seen, is West Ham, Everton, they've got these grinder managers in, these so-called dinosaurs, and they've decided they got rid of them. And this is a mentality that's becoming increasingly prevalent in the Premier League, is this: we must survive just financially, and it's not football anymore, it's just businesses. So we must survive in the Premier League, so we get TV rights money and we can sell as much merchandise or whatever to our fan group.
And it became increasingly less about that. I mean, Villa were behind the curve in terms of globalisation and selling things, but worked out that by surviving that they made a significant amount of money. And I thought it was interesting today that looking at Huddersfield, that it's not just about the 150, 160 million you get for going up. They've made 350 odd million by staying up now.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the difference, isn't it? That we in terms of our little corner of the world, it could either be a £34 million remainder of the parachute payment, or
it's a whole different ball game.
And that shows you the gap, really.
Yeah.
It shows you the gap.
I mean, that's the thing now. The financial side is encroaching into the mindset of the regular supporter. It normally used to be about just the football and supporting your team. But
never
now,
used to bother me.
Yeah, you never used to think about it.
Never used to bother me. But the reality is that for every season we stay down. And that's the juxtaposition, isn't it? That very few teams have come to Villa Park this season and sat behind the ball.
Yeah.
Yet you think of even when we were at our worst, we saw some dire football spectacles at Villa Park, because the Swanseas, the Bournemouths, the West Broms.
Swanseas would beat us, though. And actually play better than
Swansea.
Did.
I mean,
that was when Swansea were good before
last
season.
Back to when Tom Fox used them as the
was
the example of who we should be, and that was a depressing moment.
But we did. I mean, going back to even Martin O'Neill's time, his team was built for the away game counter-attack. That's how it was: pace up front, solid in defence. So when we played at home, we would struggle breaking teams down at home.
Yeah.
Because we didn't really have the guile, but also they would come
to defend. It was a combination of Tonev, Didier Agathe and Chris Sutton. I always thought that stifled us, but I mean, others see it differently.
Right. While the sun sets in the... Is that the south? Or the west? I need a compass. Right.
Which way the birds are tracking en route to shitting on you, and then we can go eastern.
Yeah, they're going to be migrating soon when I pull out my 12-bore shotgun and start randomly firing into the trees. Right, until the next podcast, which will be soon, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.